Welcome to Promised Land at Home podcast, where we bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. Wherever life has you, we pray that today's sermon both challenges and encourages you. We're so glad you're listening today and hope you enjoy the message.
I want to tell you that this is a special moment for me because I'm preaching, when I'm preaching in America after 5 years. And those of you who know the testimony, my visa was revoked and my wives and sons, they were denied several times. See, it's a different thing when a man is against you or family or a friend goes against you, but it's a different thing when a country closes its door for you. But God, when God sent his son Jesus, Jesus became the door for us. Amen. And so when God opens a door, no man can shut. Amen. Hallelujah. And it is my joy to be here this morning. And we're going to be finishing up 1 Timothy chapter 6. And the title of the series is Blueprints. I believe that God is going to bless us, talk to us this morning as we read through this chapter and go on a few points. I have four things that I want to tell you this morning to wrap this book up. Timothy is a young minister, and I researched about it and I have read about it many times that Timothy is probably 40 years old, and 40 years Paul is considering young. So I am 43. I am a little bit, on the younger side of young, right? So that's why, when he's calling him a youth, it's like 40 years old and he's calling him a young chap. So all the people who are 40, 40 is the new 20. Amen. So as you know, Timothy is a young pastor, and all young pastors need guidance. Pastor Robin was showing a clip on his social media about him speaking, and a couple of elders sitting on the stage, and they're talking, not even listening. And and we as young pastors make so many mistakes that when we look back at it, we just laugh at ourselves. And if you really want your life to be exciting, learn to laugh at yourself. Make some mistakes so that you can look back, make some mistakes, and let other people make videos of it. So you can look back and laugh at it and enjoy the goodness of God. Paul is a father figure to Timothy. Many times he's mentioned Timothy in his books. Many times he's mentioned Timothy behind his back. He has bragged about Timothy. He has talked good things about Timothy. And now he's writing a letter specifically to this guy. There are letters written to churches, the body of Christ, but now he's not able to reach Timothy, so he's writing a letter so that he can explain, he can pour out his experience in the life of Timothy, and he wants him to excel and be effective in the work of God. Amen? Paul wants Timothy to excel. Paul started this church, and Timothy is pastoring this church, and Paul doesn't want Timothy to lose. He wants something great to happen from the life of Timothy. And so we will go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. The first point that I want to make this morning that Paul is mentioning to Timothy is about a different doctrine. And I'll read it for you. It may be on your screen. It says this: if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ. So sound words, he's saying the words that Jesus spoke are sound words. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. And with the doctrine conforming to godliness. So we're talking about sound doctrine and godliness. A different doctrine. What is a different doctrine? Something that doesn't align with the Word of God. Something that doesn't match with the Word of God. Something you can say that is not God's standard. And so I was so excited to come and speak to you this morning. In a hospital back in 2014, I heard a different doctrine. That there'll be two deaths in your family. Right? My wife is going to die, and the child in the womb is going to die. See, what God speaks to you in a way is doctrine, because what God says, he does. And God had not told me that there'll be two deaths in my family, but God had told me that your wife will be fine and your son will be born. In India, it is illegal to find the gender of a child, but God told me that you will have a baby boy, you name him Andrew, you know he's going to be all right, and he's going to live his life. Hallelujah. And I'm so delighted. See, the world is going to infiltrate you with a different doctrine that doesn't match with the standard of God. So when the doctor was telling me, of course he knew the right things. I'm not saying that the doctor was telling me the wrong things or he was speaking lies to me. He was speaking according to what he had learned. And church, we ought to speak what we know God is and God does. Hallelujah. And so when somebody comes to you and speaks to you a different doctrine, there are churches that believe that the Holy Spirit does not work anymore. There are people who believe that the fruits of the Spirit are not operational. There are people who believe that the apostles, those were the apostles and they are not any apostles. There are people who believe that the Holy Spirit has left the earth. It's a different doctrine. Don't believe it, because the Bible says that in the end days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. On all flesh. Agreement with the Word of God is the main thing. And I was listening to this preacher this last week. He said, the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. Amen. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. You know what the main thing is? The Word of God is the main thing. The promises of God, the main thing. The finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross is the main thing. Eternal life is the main thing. Hallelujah. And so if somebody is telling you a different doctrine, do not believe it. When somebody says God cannot heal, do not believe it. We are a living testament that God heals. Hallelujah. When somebody says the works of the Holy Spirit has ended, don't believe it, because you are here because the Holy Spirit has prompted you to be here, to be in the presence of God. The Bible says nobody comes to God without the Holy Spirit. If somebody tells you God helps, you know, this is a doctrine, it's a man-made doctrine, that God helps those who help themselves. It's a man-made doctrine. And I can say, you know, God, I could not help myself. I could not work my salvation. I could not work my wife's healing or my son's life. But it is God who does it. Hallelujah. It is God who does it. So do not believe. So if it not aligns with the Word of God, it does not align with godliness. If it does not align with the Word of God, it does not align with godliness. And I'm going to read few scriptures for you right here in Timothy verse 4. And it's probably not on the screen, or if you can put it on the screen, that would be fine. And it says, he is conceited and understand nothing. And this is talking about somebody who does not talk sound doctrine. But he has a sick craving for controversial questions and disputes about words, from which come envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of deprived mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. To my second point, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So what is true godliness? True godliness, when he's talking about great gain, he's not talking about great wealth. He's not talking about that you're going to have a big, you know, bank balance. He's not talking about you're going to have a lot of real estate. He's not going to talk about, of course, God blesses you with all that. But when you talk about great gain, what is great gain? Great gain is salvation, first of all. Hallelujah. That I am a son of God. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. And I have relationship in heaven. That is great gain. Hallelujah. Eternal life is great gain. That I'm not going to just end up after 60, 70, 80 years on earth. But I'm going to live forever. Hallelujah. In the presence of God. So to understand godliness, you have to understand ungodliness. Can you say amen to that? Ungodliness. See, if it talks about if you are a godly person, you'll be satisfied. You'll be content. But ungodly people are not satisfied. They have money, they have fame, they have real estate, they have family, they have children, they have a job. Even some people are dissatisfied in America with their gender, right? Some people are dissatisfied. And the reason why they are dissatisfied is because they do not agree with the Word of God and the doctrine of God. Their belief system does not align with the Word of God. And when your belief system does not align with God, you will always be discontent and dissatisfied. Nothing will be able to satisfy you. This is back in 2001. I went to Mauritius. And I was invited to a family that was my relatives, and we were invited for lunch. And I have never seen such a lavish house as they had back in the day. There was a full-blown 18-hole golf course behind the back of their house, and you know, all the trees as you go through the driveway, and a big, huge house. And I'm still yet to see such a huge dining table. Probably it was 25 feet, you know, the length of the dining table. It was huge, and there were 40 different kinds of foods on that table. But this is what happened. As we were eating, the husband and wife, which was an older couple, probably married 40 years, this guy is the biggest criminal lawyer of the country, has millions and millions of money, been married 40 years. Suddenly, you know, as we were done eating, the couple just left the table, and we heard the woman, the wife, screaming. I'm like, what is going on? Why is she screaming? And the reason I'm telling you this man had a knife in his hand and was running behind his wife to kill him. The biggest criminal lawyer, been married 40 years, has money, has fame, has everything, humongous house, but still is dissatisfied because he's away from godliness. See, godliness requires a faith fight. Godliness requires a faith fight. And it brings me to my third point. Does your faith have a witness? And I'll read it for you from verse 12. Paul is telling Timothy, he's guiding him and instructing him, or you can say he's commanding him, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. How I understand is that your faith needs a witness. Your faith needs a witness. And a few things that I've here for you. First thing, faith has to be displayed. You cannot be a Christian and not tell anyone that you follow Jesus. Faith has to be displayed. And not only displayed in church, but in places where they do not know God. Faith has to be displayed. And so Paul is instructing Timothy, the only condition that people will come to you, the people will come to your church, that people will follow you, that people will fall in love with Jesus, is when you display your faith. When you display your faith and displaying it in places where it's not, you know, when it's so difficult to display your faith. My wife, when she heard, she got to know that she has this cancer and she has probably maximum 60 days to live. She was the one to make a decision. She had the final call to keep the baby or not. And so the doctors came and gave us a 40-minute lecture, 45-minute lecture, and we were listening. And in the end, they asked, you know, so are you ready for the termination of the child? It's the 7th month going on, and the doctors are believing that this child that is in the womb is a hindrance to her, you know, treatment that they were giving. Because they were about to start chemotherapy, and chemotherapy messes with the, you know, it's going to make the child dead, you know. All the medical professionals know it. Faith has to be displayed. And my wife is listening. She doesn't talk much, but when she talks faith. Hallelujah. That's the kind of wife or a husband you need. When they talk in situations like this, they talk faith. She said, I don't know what's going to happen to me, but I know my child will be born. My child will be born. Your faith decides your destiny, church. That's why Paul is saying, display your faith. Does your faith have a witness? The second thing is, faith is his word in action. His word in action. It is very easy to come to a church and be, you know, stirred up and get encouraged. But when you go back, you face the same situations that you came back in. But in those situations, now your actions will be different. Amen? Your actions would be different. I remember the night when I received Jesus as personal Savior. We were still in debt. We still didn't have food in the house. Our school in India, you have to pay fees to go to school, and it's public school here. You know, you don't pay anything, but in India, in every school, you pay some kind of fees. And we were going to a nice school, and my mom would be taking money, from the bank and from other people, from her friends, and we were under such a big debt. We did not have enough good clothes. I remember my shoe that we used to buy from a very downtrodden area. My shoe was probably 30 cents if you compare it with American dollars. And sometimes, because if you notice, I have a small shoe size, you know, for my height. The reason is I would wear the same shoe for 2-3 years. And did not have enough money even to, you know, in India they have cobblers coming, you know, to your house, you know, in your neighborhood to repair your shoe. Did not have even 10 cents or 20 cents to repair, get the shoe repaired. I remember going to church every Sunday morning with clothes that would fit too tight because we are growing. But something happened. Situation stays the same. But something happened. What God does is he changes something inside of you. He stirs something inside of you. All those things that I see are the same. But we as believers of God do not live by what we see. We live by faith, declaring what God has told us, that this is going to be all right. Hallelujah. I remember the first time a pastor prophesied for me that you will be preaching all over the world. My mom did not have money. You know, my dad had left, so a single mom raised us 3 kids. My mom did not have money, or I did not have money to go to the next city. To be honest, 23 years later, 42 nations, I have gone to preach Jesus. Hallelujah. Faith is words in action. The first pastor that prophesied for me knew my situation, knew our shortcomings, knew that we are so poor that we cannot afford a ticket to the next city, but still he was speaking life into me. He was declaring his faith and bringing into action. Faith is inactive when hidden. A lot of times, you know, you have the liberty to say in America that I'm a Christian. Coming from a third world nation, you know, in America I say, you know, you still have a choice to choose a conservative guy as your president, right? Who kind of somehow believes in some Christian values. In India, we elect whoever we vote for. We know this guy is going to persecute Christians. So would you vote for somebody that you know when he gets in office? In India, there are organizations backed by the government to persecute churches, burn churches. Right now, a northeastern state of India is burning. The name of the state is Manipur. You can Google it and see. There are about 300,000 Christians that have been displaced. There are probably 300 plus churches that have been burnt. People have been shot, people have been killed, women have been raped, girls have been raped and killed. So we elect somebody who would persecute us. And living in a country like that, it is sometimes, you know, the devil tells you to hide your faith. God will never tell you to hide your faith. Right? But faith, if hidden, is inactive. So when Paul is telling Timothy, you know, if you read the history of the church of Ephesus, they had a different goddess that they worshipped. And there was a riot in the city because they did not want, you know, Paul and Timothy and other people to be preaching Jesus, because that would shut down businesses. And so it was easy for Timothy to withdraw, to have an underground church, to have a silent church, to have a church that nobody notices. Just when I got here, one of my friends who has traveled many times to America, a pastor friend of mine, he sent me a text. This is what he said. And he was about to have a conference on June 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. And just before that, he sent me a text. He said, "Norman, please pray for me. I'm in the hit list. I'm in top on the hit list for these anti-Christian organizations for me to be killed." It is very easy for him. And he's up in the north, very close to the capital, New Delhi. And it was very easy. I was waiting for his response. I was expecting he's going to say that we are canceling this meeting. We're not doing these meetings. But he said, "Pray for me so that we can do these meetings. And if God wants me to be killed, it's okay." Hallelujah. That faith is inactive when it's hidden. This is what faith does. You know what faith does? The Bible says that faith moves mountains. Hallelujah. Faith moves mountains. My pastor, you know, this year our church is going to be completing 50 years in October. My pastor, when he started the church, there were many threats on him. People wanted to kill him. You know, not only these other people, the Gentiles wanted to kill him, Christian people wanted to kill him because he got filled with the Holy Spirit and, you know, God started using him. And so all these denominationals didn't want him to excel. And there have been many times that he has life threats. But this is what he says: if it's the will of God, somebody will come and shoot a bullet right in my head and I'm very happy to go. But if it's not with the will of God, even if people come from all around and shoot 100 and 200 bullets in my body, but if it's not the will of God, I will not die. Hallelujah. I will not die. Because faith has to be in action. And he has lived it. Nobody has been able to come close to kill him in all these 50 years. Hallelujah. Faith. You protect what you fight for. As believers, we fight for our faith. Which brings us to the last section of my message this morning, verse 20 and 21. Timothy. He's emphasizing on his name, Timothy. Protect what has been entrusted to you. You're a young minister. People are trying to bring all kinds of doctrines to you. People are trying to use you. People are trying to manipulate you. The society is trying to bring you down. But I want to tell you something, that you got to protect what you fight for. You got to protect. It says, avoiding worldly, empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge. There was a time in 2001, I believe. I went with my pastor to another city, and because my pastor is very famous in India, there would be people that would come to meet him. And I would sit with him and, you know, listen to him to talk to all these people. And so this guy came and gifted my pastor a book. "Pastor, this book is from the end times. God has given me a revelation for the end times." Okay. So my pastor is like, you know, he has no time, you know, reading books from people and stuff like that. So he's like, he was very generous. He said, "Norman, you read it and let me know what is in it." "Thank you." And I was 20 years old. I was like, "Oh, thank you. Nice book." And it was like a thick book, you know, maybe 200 pages. And I'm like, you know, "God, if you really want me to read this book." And I opened, flipped the pages, and it said, I saw the table of contents, and it says, "Third World War. Okay, this is 2001, and he's writing a book, and he's giving a book in Third World War. So I just opened that page, and I just read probably 100 words. And according to him, the Third World War would happen in 1999. So I knew that this book is trash. My pastor has the gift of discernment. The only gift that he operates is the gift of discernment. And so he gave me the book, and some of his discernment fell on me. So that I would read about the Third World War, and I did not read the book and threw it away. People are trying to give you things that you don't have to be involved in. They're calling it knowledge. You know, some people know exactly the time and date and the second when the return of Jesus Christ is going to be, right? Some people know, you know, exactly know we are pre-tribulation, we are post-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and leave nothing on God to decide when Jesus comes back, right? Even Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back, but all these people know when he's coming back. And they call it knowledge. Blood moons. You know, American preachers, these high preachers know how to sell their books. Blood moons. You know, rabbis in America, very famous, 300 million followers. Blood moons, Jesus is coming back. Or if 4 blood moons happens, nothing, Jesus is still not here. Right? Who do you protect? First, protect your relationship with God. First thing, protect your relationship with God. First, protect your relationship with God. Protect your family, which includes your children, your wife, your husband. Protect your family. Protect your mind. Do not let everything come. That is, you know, whatever is being sold, don't buy everything. You know, America, Indian people come to America and they are just amazed to see how many options you have here. Just to go in an aisle of a shampoo, you have 300 different choices. In India, we might have like 2 or 3. When I first came to America, I was introduced to, that is 2004, I was single, this was not there. So the pastor and his sons wanted me to be involved with somebody in a relationship and get married in America and live here. So they said, hey, I was in Yuma, Arizona, they said, you need moisturizer. The girls have to come to you and you have to smell good. And after you put this moisturizer, this is a cologne, you spray on. Never had those things in India, right? Everything is supersized. Everything is big. Paul is talking. See, the devil, one thing that he is very good at is wasting your time. And many times we waste our time. And when we, you know, when we move forward, then we think, you know, I should not have been involved in that conversation. I should not have been involved in that fight. I should not have been involved in that church. I should not have been involved in that argument. And then you regret. See, the devil is very good at it. And Paul is telling from his experience, Timothy, you are a young chap. You're a young minister. The last thing I want you to do is you waste your time in these false knowledges and arguments. The last thing you protect is your belief system. The world will change around you, but let not your faith change. Amen. The culture will change around you, but let not your faith change. The language may change around you. The political system may change around you, but let not your faith change. And last but not the least, he said, grace be with you. To follow the doctrine of God, you need grace. Because you will have to forgive people. You'll have to love on people. You'll have to take care of people that you didn't want to see their face. To live in godliness, you need grace. For your faith to be displayed, you need grace. And to protect yourself, your family, your children, your mind, and your belief system, you need grace. Grace, in simple words, is God's help. Church, we all need His help. Hallelujah. Let us all stand to our places as we come to a closure of this message this morning and this book this morning. First things first, ask God for forgiveness. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, because He is the author and finisher of our faith. And last but not the least, start serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Church, it is such a good thing to serve Jesus. There's nothing better. You can, my pastor, when I was 16 years old, he said, Norman, you could have a best job in the world. You can make a lot of money in the world. You may be in the best cities. You may be in the best houses. But remember, in whatever you do, serve the Lord. And serve the Lord with gladness in your heart. Hallelujah. I want to repeat it again. Ask God for forgiveness. There'll be people in front who will pray with you, pray for you. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and if it's your first time listening to the gospel, know that God loves you. God has a plan for you. Even before you were born, even before you were made, you were created in the heavens. Hallelujah. Your mama and dad made you, but God created you. Hallelujah. Receive Him as personal Savior. Invite Jesus as King into your heart. And from today, start serving Him. Hallelujah. Let us give the Lord some praise. Let us lift our hands, lift our voices, and thank Him for what He has done this morning. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You this morning that You spoke to us clearly in Your word says, godliness, contentment, good doctrine, faith, protection, and grace. Heavenly Father, as we have received Your word and as Your people are about to be dismissed from here, Lord, let these elements of the Word of God be planted in us this morning, and we may be rooted in Your presence, in Your house, in Your kingdom forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, we want to connect with you. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube by searching Promised Land San Marcos, on Instagram at PSM Church, or on our website, psmchurch.com. Thanks again for listening to the Promised Land at Home podcast.